that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that the word of God may have its place in your life.
Thank you very much, brother. I'm very humbled to be here this evening. Excellent spirit of worship. And I want to turn your attention, please, into the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Appreciate each of you who has made it out. I know it isn't easy. But the message that I want to bring here tonight is of exceeding great importance. As all of these messages are, if they come from the Bible in the proper season, and if we have the heart, we have the character, we have the eyes of understanding, as our pastor has prayed. The title of this message is found in Acts 15, verse number 21. It's entitled, "The Moses Has Those Who Proclaim Him." I don't know how it's written in the King James. It might say that he has of old those who have preached him or proclaimed him. But the essence of the message is that Moses has passed on his ministry unto our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to look at a lot of scriptures outside of Acts chapter 15. But I want you to turn into Acts chapter 3, and I want you to see something exceedingly important. As we are here in Nigeria and then everywhere else in planet Earth, this is a problem that has plagued the Church of God for many centuries. It plagued the church early on here in the book of Acts chapter 15. And the problem is that people still want to hold on to Moses. I believe I mentioned earlier about tithing and the law and the feast days and the sacrifices. Everything now is spiritual and fulfilled in Christ. I come to a great high priest, but each of us is a priest. From the least child of God unto the greatest. He made us, as the pastor quoted on Sunday, a kingdom of priests unto our God. And so everything is spiritual. And our brother Peter, he says this in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, that Moses said, "The Lord your God." This is actually taken from the writing of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. And in my version, it's a capital P because it's referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses said, "A prophet like me from among your brothers." He's an actual Jew. "You must listen to him in everything he will tell you." What Moses is saying is that his ministry is going to pass on to somebody else. I'm not following Moses and Christ, I'm following Christ. And you remember on the mountain of transfiguration, it was three beings there. Our Lord Jesus, who was transfigured and appeared in his glory. It was Moses and Elijah. And then Peter said very foolishly, "Let's make three tents, three tabernacles, and let's just camp here." But then the voice came from heaven. Almighty God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And then Moses and Elijah passed away, and they saw what the scripture says was Jesus only. That's the way we preach the scriptures. Whether I'm preaching from Genesis or Revelation, it doesn't matter. It's the same gospel message of Jesus Christ. And the apostles wrote what they wrote from the Old Testament, but they wrote the New Testament because they see Christ. And if we can see Him and the power of His grace and His glory, then we shall be free from the shackles of religion, from trying to earn our place with God, and we shall be free to serve God from a true heart, from a living heart by faith. And so there are three things that I want to bring here in Acts chapter number 15. Number one is a fight. There is a fight that's on our hands for this true gospel. Verse number 1 through 5. And then number 2 is faith, that we are saved by faith entirely. Verse number 6 through 11. And then number 3 is fruit. There is a fruit that comes from following our Lord Jesus Christ. So a faith, I mean, it's a fight, it's faith, it's fruit, or you can even say that there is a following. Let's pick it up firstly with the fight. That me and you are going to have to fight for our lives with a supernatural power that we do not have. It's a reason why when God called the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Moses, He told them not to be afraid. Is a boy here named Gideon? He was told in Scripture not to be afraid. We have a fight on our hand over the true gospel. And in America, we have pit bull terriers. And they are fighting dogs. And they're known to lock on, and they won't let go even until they're killed. They've been stabbed, they've been torched, but when they lock their jaws, their special trait. That's how mean you have to be over the gospel. I don't want to be a hard man, but I have to be willing to die in order to preach the gospel. And even though Christians are meek and we're very kind people, we fight over the gospel. Because it's eternally important. And so we'll pick it up in Acts 15, verse number 1. Some men came down from Judea. This is after Paul had been chased all about, and he and Barnabas were still planting churches, and began to teach the brothers. They're trying to intrude upon the true believers. And Brother John Calvin said that the shepherd of the flock, as pastors, have to be able to bark and bite if they come after our people. And here's what they said. It was, unless you are circumcised, unless you come back up under the law of Moses, unless you keep the Ten Commandments according to the custom prescribed by Moses, unless you put away all of this Christ talk and bring in some of the law of Moses too, it can't be all grace, it can't be all gospel, it can't be all the goodness of God. It can't be all free. It has to be just a little bit of us. As the old pastor said, that we have to have our part so that we can boast a little. But after Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in a serious argument and debate, Paul and Barnabas did not just sit by the side and say, it's okay if you slaughter my people. It's okay if you preach lies. I was at the corner here at the market, and I was introduced to another preacher, and I had a flyer And we were talking about false prophets. And he was agreeing. But I want to see what kind of a prophet is he. I want to test him by the word of God. And as you test me, I don't think that you could hear me if you didn't want to hear this book, not more than once. What I say has to match the book. And Paul and Barnabas aren't going to just sit and say, well, I want to be friendly with him. I don't want to cause any trouble. No, I'm going to engage him. I'm going to come in between him and my people. I'm going to defend them in the truth of the gospel at the cost of my life. The scripture tells us to be faithful unto the death. And we won't have to worry about our crown. That we can't count anything as being more important than the truth of the gospel. I want peace just like other people want peace, but we have to give up peace for truth. And then love can actually work inside of our hearts, but people have to know the truth of the gospel. And that's why they engage them in a serious argument. It was not all kind and smiley faces. It was not all kind words. It was heated, a debate, an argument. It was going back and forth. It was scripture upon scripture. It was agitation of spirit. It was important. And so when that man challenged your wife, and you had to come back, you said that it angered you. How about the truth in the bride of Jesus Christ? So many people as to where I'm from, Pastor, are such cowards. Is all they want to do is smile and be nice. I've never seen Osteen except he's smiling and saying something nice. But that's not how Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. He was like a roaring lion when he had to be. He told them in Galatians, I wish that those who were troubling you were cut off. Or were mangled. As he told them in Philippians 3, to beware of dogs that cannot bark, evil beasts. And the imagery of the revelation that concerns a false prophet, he's like a frog coming out of the devil's mouth. He's a scorpion that looks like a lion but speaks like a dragon. That looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. This is important to have the truth of the gospel because people are only saved by truth. And God always gets his people the truth. And he tells us in Galatians 5 to stand fast in your liberty. Don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage, or Christ will profit you nothing. You have fallen from grace. I had a tract on that. I don't know if anybody got it, but that's as serious as it gets. That's me starting out in the gospel and then being turned back into self-righteousness. And I'm a goner. And then it says in verse number 3 that when they had been sent on their way by the church, well, the whole church considered this important. It was important enough for them to get their money together. It was important enough to send Paul and Barnabas away, who had been helping them so much, because this issue, it had to be settled, and it has been settled. It's been settled right here in Scripture. And so they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria. It was a long way, explaining in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, how they came to faith in Jesus Christ, and they created great joy among all of the brothers. They had joy in seeing and hearing that other people are saved. What is your joy? This is the true test of my heart. as to what makes me happy. This is what I was talking about on Sunday as the battle of our hearts. Because the devil is more than happy to make you happy as long as it ain't in the gospel. And he'll bring you happiness if persecution can't swallow you up. But if our joy, if our happiness is in the gospel, if it's in the power of the Spirit, if it's in the presence of God, if it's in the advance of the gospel. So it isn't only me coming to church and I feel good, but it's a life laid down to serve the gospel, to see others saved, because this is really my joy. You can tell if it's the joy of my heart, if I care about your heart. This thing is real, and it was in the church, and they are rejoicing that other people are saved. And I'm telling you, if your joy is in the salvation of other sinners, you're in God's purpose. That's what Brother Jonah had to learn. He had to learn that his joy, it was never going to be in what Brother Jonah wanted. It had to be in what God wanted. And what God wanted is to save sinners. And he will keep you and equip you if that is your joy. Acts 15, verse number 4, as to when they arrived at Jerusalem, so they took this long journey, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles, and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them, and how the salvation of sinners was being accomplished by the preaching of the gospel. How apropos, the opposite of what I'm doing. How the Almighty, even though there were plenty of persecutions, was still saving sinners, and how he could not be stopped. Verse number 5, but some of the believers, this is who they think that they are, this is who they act like, but this is who they are not if they don't repent. Now the notion I can be right here and be wrong here is a wrong notion. And the notion I can be right here and be wrong here is a wrong notion. If I'm right here in my head, I will be right here in my heart as well. If I have true knowledge, it will produce zeal. If I have zeal but I don't have knowledge, Paul says that he's not saved. I desire to get them the gospel, my kinsmen, because they have a zeal but it's not according to knowledge. They are not saved. And so these people here are believers if they repent. But you remember that Paul told our Lord Jesus' top disciple, Peter, that if he did not repent of his hypocrisy, he was going contrary unto the gospel in Galatians chapter 2. And even Peter had to turn around, because the Pharisees and the religious leaders in the church were coming to the people to bring us back up under bondage, back up under Moses, back up under the law, and to take the emphasis and attention off of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want you to be judged by what you do, and you're going to hell if that's the case. You will have no peace with God. He is too holy. It is too important of an issue. And so these believers from the party of the Pharisees, that they had just transitioned
their religion, but the gospel had not come yet into their heart, or they have not yet repented clearly, and they better get to it because they are wrong. You cannot be a Pharisee in the gospel. You cannot have any righteousness at all of your own. And do you know what the law of the leper is? I'll just quote you this. I don't want you to turn unless you feel like you need to. It's Leviticus chapter number 13. And I'll just quote you the scripture. It was a woman I had met as I was walking. She came out of the church. This was a couple of weeks ago, with ash and some stuff on her neck and her face. And I said, "What's that?" Because I was trying to get at the heart of her religion. And she said, "It's a point of contact. The point of contact is faith. The point of contact is not something you do or you can see or you can trust in or something I feel. The point of contact with God and Jesus Christ is by faith in the gospel." And so we were talking yesterday as she visited, and I asked her this question. I'm so straight, Pastor. I don't know how to be any other way. "Are you a sinner?" I know you're religious. Everybody in Nigeria is religious. Who ain't religious? I've never seen more people go to church in my life. People just come out of the woodwork on Sunday morning, dressed and ready to go. "But are you a sinner?" And her conscience struck her. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know the issue. I just need you to know you are one. And we got down to the law of the leper, and it shocked her. Verse number 13. "But if the skin disease breaks out all over the skin, if the leprosy's everywhere, from the top of the head unto his feet, as far as the priest can see," and it's the true priest, our Lord Jesus. If the priest will look of Leviticus chapter 13, verse 13, and if the leprosy, if the skin disease, if the plague has covered his entire body, he is to pronounce the leprous person clean. Since he is totally leprous, his skin is turned totally white, he is clean. And he was shocked, as people always are, as I was, at the first time I saw it, shocked with glee. That the only time a person can be righteous in the sight of God is if they are ungodly. Either you got to be perfectly righteous on your own and not have any sin at all, he'll take you. Or you got to be totally depraved and filthy, or he'll have nothing to do with you. If there's one spot of goodness on me and you, we're going to hell for certain. But when I'm a total sinner, that's when I'll trust Christ. He did not come to call who? The righteous at all. "Well, I got a little bit. Well, I've been going to church all my life. I am in Nigeria. It's a Christian country. It's my skirts all the way down to here. I'm in church every Sunday. I'm an evangelist." You'll burn right up. But if you are a filthy, dirty, and depraved sinner, you are forgiven of all your sins. For Christ's sake. That's the way it works. And when you keep going in this text, as soon as a spot of my own goodness comes back, I'm guilty again. And that's what was going on. If you turn back, please, in the Acts chapter 15, that's what was going on with the Pharisees. It's the Pharisees are saying, look, yeah. I started out a sinner, but now I'm a good boy. I'm a good man, I'm a good dad, I'm a good father, I'm a good pastor, I read my Bible, I'm so zealous, I go to church, I do this, that, and the other. Yes, I used to be a drunk, I used to be a fornicator, but right now I'm doing pretty good, especially in comparison to you. Isn't that how that Pharisee was in the book of Luke 18? Even in the temple, our Lord Jesus was straight to the point. As the Lord said, he prayed thus unto himself. He wasn't hurt by God at all. And his whole prayer was, Lord, I'm better than so and so. And so bless me. But the poor raggedy sinner couldn't even lift his head up towards heaven and said, what? God be merciful unto me. The sinner is the actual grave. This Bible only talks about one kind of sinner. He's totally depraved. Is he's helpless. He can't do anything to save himself. He can't earn nothing. It just has to be mercy that the Lord might be glorified, and you might be trees of his book that he can all praise. He'll have mercy on every sinner in the building, every sinner in Nigeria, every sinner in Ojo. He is looking for sinners. He came to seek and save that which was lost, and they're all sinners. When Zacchaeus went up that tree to see our Lord Jesus Christ, he was hated by the Pharisees because he was a rich ogre who made his money off of the people. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, today I shall be, you come down. And today I'm going to eat in your house, of all the houses. He passed by all the Pharisees, and they got angry and said, but he was there. And Zacchaeus said, Lord, half my goods I give unto the poor, and whatever I've stolen, I'll repay fourfold. And the Lord Jesus said, the salvation has come unto this man because he too is a son of Abraham. Because the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And when he saw him up that tree, Zacchaeus was lost. And when he said, come down, I'm going to eat with you, Zacchaeus believed God. And that's what changed. That's what transformed him. That's what made him righteous in the way he acted towards other people. But he was righteous in the sight of God, as we'll see in just a moment, just by believing his word. And the Pharisees can't take it. They can't handle it. They are trying to be somebody. I want to be called Papa. Call me Daddy. I mean, Pastor, if I could take every title on every pastor in Nigeria and put it on a boxing bag, I'd work myself out. How are you going to call a grown man that's filled with sin your daddy? Except your daddy, who is your daddy? I know Jesus said, don't call no man father. And we get on the Catholics for calling their priest father, and then me and you would do the same thing. I understand respect, but don't give him too much. He got a heart like you do. Don't ever forget it. He ain't no different. He just obtained mercy. And he's preaching mercy unto you. He ain't got nothing else. There's not one thing about Moses. He's still being the backside of the desert. Not one thing about Paul. He'd still be on his way to hell. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who saved. That's our message. That's Daddy. That's Abba Father. That's the one who gets glory. And me and you were brothers. Isn't that freedom? But the Pharisee didn't like it. Because they wanted to be somebody and they wanted to be special. And so they said here at the end of verse number 5, after they stood up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And what they do, Pastor, is they take the Old Testament, they take out Christ and the fact that he fulfilled all of it, and they use it to keep people down and in bondage. That's the reason I don't preach tithing. It's a woman I know that's in Malawi. I just heard from her this morning. She's come unto the gospel and she's still coming. I've seen excellent questions on some things that she's been reading. And she told me today that her pastor is going by everybody's house to actually make sure of and to give a confirmation, some proof of how much they have been given. I almost said I wouldn't even let him in my house. But I would bring him in to open up to him the scriptures and tell him it's none of his business as to how much I give. The scripture says, as each man purposes in his own heart. I got to tell you what I give. It's not your business. My own right hand ain't supposed to know what my left hand's doing. I'm going to tell you how much money I'm putting in the offering plate. Why? Because they're bringing you back under bondage. And they want you to earn your righteousness, and they want you to earn your salvation, and they want you to be good enough in their eyes. Only problem is you'll never be good enough in God's eyes. Never, ever, ever. Not like that. So next we have faith. I kind of touched on it, but let's get more into the positive side of it. Verse number 6 up to verse number 11. That's our fight. That's our battle. To put away all of the false religion in Nigeria, in America, in the world. And it's everywhere. It's the Catholics make me weep. I'm sitting in Ireland. I have to weep over the Catholics. I weep at the Pentecostalism here. I weep in the U.S. about our Mr. Know-It-All mentality over there. I weep. Everywhere I go, I weep. And if I ain't weeping, I ain't happy. Because I stopped caring. But verse number 6 says, and then the apostles and the elders assembled to consider this matter, and after there had been much debate, much going back and forth, Peter stood up and said unto them, now here is a voice of authority, and here's where his authority comes from, the word of God experience. Brothers, you are aware that in the early days, all the way back in Acts chapter number 10, that God made choice among us, that by my vow, the Gentiles, our brother Cornelius and the Italian band, would hear the gospel message and believe. That's what it takes to be saved. That's what it takes to be righteous. That's what it takes to walk with God. That's what it takes to stay in Christ and be happy. That's what it takes to bring forth fruit. That's what it takes to have peace. That's what it takes to be holy. That's what it takes to live godly and upright. To hear the gospel message. To hear the word of God and believe it.
You've got to, according to Ephesians 1, hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How God chose you from the foundation of the world. He did not choose everybody, or everybody would not be in hell that's in hell. He said, Jacob I love, and Esau I hate. And he said it, Pastor, before the children were even born and had done any good or evil. I saw this quote by Jonathan Edwards, an American preacher, brilliant man, as he helped with Brother Jordan Whitfield at the First Great Awakening. But Brother Edwards, he said, if justice, oh, I'm going to try to quote it accurately. Let me see if I can grab it accurately. Here it is. If damnation be justice, then mercy may choose its own object. Did you get that? If I deserve hell, then he can have mercy on whom he pleases. And that's exactly as to what he's doing. The word of the gospel does not come to you and say, how can you save you? It's the word of the gospel comes unto you and says how God has saved you. He took your sin. He died for it. He paid the penalty. He gives you eternal life. He substituted his son, the Lamb of God. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all who believe. He gave us faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, which we exercise in trusting Christ, because faith is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If there's anything I've done, I'm a leper, and I'm trying to be clean, and I'm unclean. But if I can't do anything, if I can't even trust Christ, I can't even believe, you are clean, says the scripture. Because that's a true sinner. I'm too sinful to love Christ. I cannot. I need a new heart. I can't stir it up. I love the world. That's who God has mercy on. God be merciful unto me. The sin. He meant business. He is in a little tiny center of pretense. This man is totally depraved from head to toe. There's no good in him to trust in Jesus Christ. And when he heard that, he said, I believe God. That man that me and you we looked at on Sunday, that was lame, brother, from birth, from his mother's womb. He had never walked. That's who had faith to be healed. And Paul said, rise, stand up on your feet. And he got that. Believe the gospel. You who cannot do anything, trust in Jesus Christ. You who could never muster faith in 1,000 years, put your faith in the Son of God. He'll save your soul. Just like that. It's just as easy and impossible with faith. But if you have faith, you give glory unto God. And when I look in my heart and I see, wait. There's all manner of evil in here. But I believe God up there on that throne. I'm righteous.
And when I heard that pastor preaching, it's for whoever believes, is my mind ran to the scripture and said, that's what it says. I said, I believe. Then you got eternal life. It can't be taken away. It's a gift from God. And so Peter said, that's what happened unto Cornelius. It was no altar call. It was no baptism until afterwards. Look what it says. Verse number 8. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them by giving the Holy Spirit, just as also He did to us. The Holy Spirit came down on them at Pentecost, the exact same way it came down upon them in Acts chapter 10. And the exact same way it would come down if it was really coming down like this in this modern day. These people started speaking in languages they never learned. All of a sudden they could speak in Chinese and Arabic and Hebrew and Swahili and German. Because it's the message of the gospel being testified into all of the world. That's why the many languages are given. And even though that sign gift is not here, no one can do this. I still have my challenger. The Holy Spirit does bear witness that we are His people. He brings forth the fruit. He touches the heart. He transforms us. He gives us peace and boldness and assurance. And here's how it comes. Verse number 9. He who knows our hearts, He made no distinction between us Jews and them, cleansing their heart by faith. Let me tell you what you have, just in brief, if you believe the gospel. Is you have a clean heart. You have holiness. You have righteousness in the sight of God. And you have the power of the Spirit to make you live the Christian life. As I was reasoning with the woman with the sister on Monday, my off day, but I was happy to do it. Are you a sinner? If you trust in Jesus Christ, then you have the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift unto you. Not because you work harder than everybody else. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's saying the Spirit came down on you at the beginning as a poor, unworthy sinner because you were trusting in Christ. That's where the power came. That's where the joy came. That's why the thief on the cross did not have you. And before you left out of the building, even though you hadn't told your wife, I'm sorry. Even though you hadn't started to, you know, treat your kids better. Even though you hadn't gone into work and stopped flirting with that other woman. You hadn't done anything but hear and believe, and you were happy. And that's how it always comes. The Spirit of God comes upon me. I've been believing the truth for over 20 years. It is on me now for the exact same reason it was the first day I heard that gospel. It's because I'm trusting Jesus Christ. What righteousness do you and I want to have in the sight of God but our Lord Jesus Christ? Any of you watch the big wrestling matches? Yeah, it's huge here. It's just huge everywhere. I'm a little bit older now. But he and him was going to wrestle unto the death. Who would you want to put your money on? He might be tough, but I think he's still small. I'm going to get him. Old as I am, I'm going to get him. Who would you rather trust in the sight of God? All holiness, all righteousness, all acceptance. Tiny, sinful you, or the perfect Lamb of God, who's already been accepted and been resurrected out of the dead. That's walking by faith. Each and every day, that's the only reason I'm happy, Pastor. I've had many an unhappy year as a Christian by trying to look at myself. Trying to do a little bit, trying to do my part, trying to improve myself, trying to be better, trying my best not to sin, instead of just looking at the Lamb of God who took away my sin and makes us perfect, and then expecting God's blessing to make me live the Christian life now. Verse number 10 and 11. Now then, I said, why are you testing God by putting a yoke on the disciples' neck that neither our ancestors, this law, this holy law, nor we have been able to bear? It's too holy. I can't touch it. On the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are, by grace through faith in Christ. Point number 3 is the fruit. Then the whole assembly, verse number 12, fell silent. And they listened to Barnabas and Paul describing all of the signs and wonders, the real and authentic miracles that God had done through them among the Gentiles. And he gave them these miracles to testify that their message is true and authentic, and we can take it to the bank. But me and you now have their message, so we don't need anything else authenticated. And the reason I can't work any of the miracles of an apostle is because I don't have any new message from God that must be written down and followed by every man on planet Earth. That's the reason it passed. It fulfilled its purpose. It served them special men who could come tell us, thus says the Lord. And after it's been written, after the apostle's doctrine has been established, after we know what all of the answers are now, it's not needed. And after verse 13, they stopped speaking. Brother James responded, brothers, listen to me. And you notice how they all spoke in turn. And the Pharisees spoke. Then the apostles stood up, Peter. Then Brother Paul and Barnabas, and then James. Everything was in order. And Brother James said, brother, listen to me. Simeon, our brother Peter, has reported how God first intervened to take from the Gentiles a people for his name. And he's going to quote scripture now out of the last chapter of the book of Amos. And the words of the prophet agree with this. Everything is in harmony with the scripture. It isn't anything new that's being said. It's just an unfolding of what was written in the law and the prophets as Moses and Elijah point to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear him. After these things, it says, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up again. That's what he did in Peter, Paul, and my Jewish brothers. So, and here's why. The rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Africans, even all the Gentiles, all of the Europeans, all of the Chinese, all of the seed of Ham and Japheth, who were called by my name.
who have been chosen by the grace of God, who have been drawn into the kingdom by His matchless mercy, who trust in Jesus Christ, declared the Lord, who does these things, known from the beginning are all of His ways. Almighty God always had this plan to save the Gentiles by faith. Therefore, since it's in harmony with Scripture, it's in harmony with what happened to our brother Peter, here is the fruit of this knowledge of the true gospel being established by faith. In my judgment, we should not call the difficulties for those among the Gentiles who turn unto God. I should not be trying to take you back unto Moses. I should not be trying to set myself up as a Levite. That means you pay me tithes. I'm not a Levite. I'm an African American. I'm a black American. There are no Levites, even in Israel. All their blood has been mingled amongst the Gentiles. They don't have any idea as to what tribe they're from. There are no more Levites. And so who you paying your tithes to? I'm not to set myself up as a priest. All of us are priests. I'm not to tell you to come bring a lamb in order to be accepted. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I don't have to go to Jerusalem. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Christ is my Sabbath. And by faith, I rest in Him. I don't have to go to a temple. I got access, as the pastor said, to come boldly unto the throne of grace. Can you understand? It's all spiritual. It's all been fulfilled. It all pointed to Jesus Christ. I don't have to make myself accepted. I'm accepted by faith alone. And so now, how do we live? Verse number 20. But instead, we should write for them to abstain from things polluted by idols. You can't worship Jesus Christ and your father's gods. From fornication, from sexual immorality. And that is covered, and the idolatry, in the epistles. And that is two things that go together here in Nigeria. Is it not? I really try to preach as to where I'm at. Because really, anywhere in the world you open up this book, it's applicable. It could be in Spain, it could be in Sweden, it could be in Northern Europe, it could be in China. It touches everybody. But right here in Nigeria, in Africa, idolatry and fornication. Once you call him daddy, next thing you know, he's sleeping with your daughter. It's not your wife. And people here allow it. If I'm lying, I've got it. I know it's a doggone shame. He's not saying come to faith in Christ and just live how you want to. No, keep trusting Christ. I got a new master. It's not Moses. He's bondage. I can't see Christ. I can't serve Him. But Jesus Christ says, love your enemies. Our brother Moses said, kill them. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Oh, the Lord said, do good unto them that curse you and bless them. It's a higher law. It's not a lower law. People tell me, oh, you're not under the law. That means that you can sin. I challenge them. I think I live as holy as you do. And I'm not bragging on that. Because it ain't much. All the bragging ain't much. Ain't nobody's flesh eradicated sin. It's the power of the Spirit that keeps it down and maintains the animal under control. That's what makes us walk godly. My eye is not on how good I am, it's on forgiveness. You can walk around all day trying to be better or being forgiven. Take the choice.
I'll take forgiveness. And you'll see me with a smile. And when I get the gospel into my heart, every day into my heart, that's the only way I can live the Christian life. Or I can't function. I can't love. But when the gospel comes and I'm righteous, I've accepted, I see God in His glory, now I can live in the power of His Spirit. That's being godly. That's what makes us scared to sin and have power over sin. He loves me and I don't want to lose His fellowship. I don't want to shame His name. He's been too good to me. And the God to whom I actually owe so much is so gracious as to keep my heart coming to Him because of His. Brother, it's by grace alone. It's always God acting first and more than us. It's always more than I deserve. It's always Him being free grace and me just receiving it by faith. He's good to me. Thank you, Lord. I can go back out. Thank you, Lord. I had no business preaching on Sunday. And this person in Ireland, and I helped save after many, many, many years of hardship, is so hot and so zealous. And she encouraged me without knowing it, get back in the game and leave everything else behind. And the Lord used her and used that to settle my heart. I'm ready to die in Africa. I haven't gone back on my mission. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Just showing me, if I let you go and be happy as you move, you'll go. But I still got you. I need it every day. I honestly think I'm the weakest person in this building. I'm scared to go a day without trusting Christ in power inside of my heart. I want to walk by faith. I don't have nothing else. And when you get to a point, brother, as to when you can't function, He will grant you His Spirit. He said that He give it unto everybody who asks Him. And if I got a plan B, I'll ask Jesus. Okay, Lord. And then I'm a double-minded man. But if I don't have anything but You and You know it, He will feed you every day of your life. And you'll have power you've not known before. Such peace on the inside. It's miraculous in every way. It's the power of God. That's what keeps me from idolatry, from fornication. And here it says, from eating anything that has been strangled or from blood. That's not picked up on in the epistles. I will leave you that. But me personally, I just stick to it. For since ancient times, Moses has had those who proclaim him in every city. There's all kinds of preachers of the law. There's all kinds of preachers of human self-righteousness. That's right up our alley. It's the religion of Cain. It's everywhere. And every Sabbath day, he read aloud in all the synagogues. All the Pharisees loved Moses. All the self-righteous people loved Moses. All religious love Moses. It's just dues. It's just duties. He gets the whip out of his hat. Do, do, and give, and do. Be better, and come, and get up earlier. This, that, and just be tearing us to pieces. And the natural flesh is like, that must be godliness. But the gospel comes, and it set a man so free. He loves people, and he loves God. That's the gospel.